We're going to speak on humility this afternoon. It's good that everyone is able to make it back this afternoon. I appreciate Brandon's lesson of the morning. When he got to the humility part in his lesson, I looked at that and I thought, well, he's going to get into my lesson, but he was in his lesson there. But he had those three attributes there that goes along with what we need to have in God's standard of law that we need to follow. And humility plays such a big part of that for us. There's about 10 things that are in my lesson that we will be looking at. It's in the scriptures that we don't realize so much of the time that humility is... Oh, okay. What humility helps us with in our Christian life, but it's so much of a great thing that we need to have in our Christian life. I could really make this lesson really short. What it comes down to is being obedient to God and doing a lot of things that He wants us to do when we say we don't want to do that. Many of the times we find ourselves in our lives that it's just, you know, it's just hard to do some of the things that the Lord asks us to do. And many times we find ourselves struggling with that. So really it's the obedience to God in so many areas of the Bible that we find out where there's humility. And we're going to talk a little bit in the Proverbs, starting out with and where really talking about humility in that area is really a specific area in our life that we need to be a certain way that Proverbs is touching on about humility. And it's in a contrast to a haughty spirit or pride or having a proud look. And when we look at Proverbs, you think about that book, Solomon, the wisest man, of course, in the world, wrote that. So we should pay heed to it, right? Since he really knows what he's talking about. And so if we see a man talking in those areas like that, we need to pay heed to that. And in Proverbs, a book of governing of ways that we should be, whether it's using wisdom in our lives versus foolishness, whether it's being honest versus dishonest, it's where you can look at a lot of different contrasts that we need to be a certain way. And it usually comes to doing the right thing, being righteous. And so we see also about humility, we're going to talk a little bit about what Paul says it is, what Peter says it is, and then we're going to get through the end of the lesson in what Jesus says humility is and how we are to follow his mind and his ways. So when you think about humility, I'm going to start out with is talking about what it's not. And when we kind of see these areas of contrast, we can understand a lot about humility. In Proverbs 6 in verse 16, 17, these things doeth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination or disgusting unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. We can see here, it's a very serious thing. Proverbs talking about these things that God hates, literally disgusting to him. And a proud look is one of those things. You know, when you think about humility, it certainly isn't having a proud look about yourself. So let's contrast being humble versus being proud now. Proverbs 16, 17 through 19, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. You know, when you think about this contrast of being humble versus being proud, you can look at it and see how it really is to govern our lives. You know, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. So if we consider ourselves to be upright, following that standard that Brandon was talking about this morning, when it comes to evil getting in our way, we are going to try to depart from that and continue to keep our way of preserving our soul. Because we don't believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. We believe that we've got to continue to do God's will throughout our lives, that the Bible truly teaches if you get honest with the scriptures, you can't fall away from that grace. So if we are preserving our soul, you ever see ladies preserve in canned goods, put the lid on it, seal it in the cooker, in the boiler, preserve it from now on. If we are to preserve our soul, we are going to continue to do the things that God would have us to do, that we are going to continue to walk away from evil. And here is talking about some specific areas in the Bible about humility. And really it's coming down to honesty versus dishonesty. And I was asking myself, when it comes to this scripture, better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. See, that's kind of getting into just a certain area about humility. And when you think about that scripture, what's he talking about here? Really having a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Well, he's dividing the spoil is money. You know, I can just think of the way it used to be with my older brothers and dividing a little bit of money, you know, one for you, one for you, two for me. They would really finagle their way into a little more sometimes. But if you think about these people dividing that spoil, dividing that money, they have taken that money, divided it upon themselves, and they are proud of it. You know, when you look at these scriptures, you can see some areas about humility that we really need to think about. Let's look at Proverbs 16:5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. So where are we getting at in the scriptures in here talking about that this proud heart and this haughty spirit and those that are dividing this spoil, where is all this coming from? I believe we can look at some other scriptures within this chapter here and see that it's looking at honesty versus dishonesty. Here in verse 8 in chapter 16, it says, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. And you come on down to 11. This is where it really, to me, gets really interesting, is a just weight and balance of the Lord's, all the weights of the bag are his work. So when you think about looking at these scriptures, you look at a area of people here that was not being honest, is talking about even here, though hand join in hand, that hand join in hand means power. And it almost to me is a form of union. So, and it starts talking about these kings. So if there's a specific area in here that he's talking about these kings, if they're cheating and being dishonest to the people, then he's letting them know, you know what, you need to come down. You need to quit lifting yourself up in what you're doing. You're proud in heart, and it's abomination to me. Although you join hand in hand, you have the power of that, you're not going to go unpunished. And so we can look at these scriptures and see exactly that humility is in areas of our lives too, is that we need to make sure that we're honest in all ways. In chapter 11 of Proverbs, if you back up there a little bit and look at the chapters before, it talks about a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly in wisdom is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. And listen to the scripture right after that. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. So we can see in these scriptures where Proverbs is headed is that talking about these weights and these unjust weights and balances, you think about, you know, if they were trading in grain or whatever commodities they were trading in, and they had a weight and scales there and they're weighing this and that thing is calibrated in their favor, then they're going to get a little bit skimming off and they're going to make a little bit profits in an unjust way. God's ways are righteous, and that's what he's saying. My ways are right and these other ways are an abomination to me. You know, you think about this for a minute. Bonnie and I were talking about this, and I was kind of rolling around the scriptures with her, and we were talking about when the scanner system first came out in the 80s with these grocery stores. And in the beginning, there was one particular food grocery chain, I'm not going to name a name, but there was back in the 80s when this first scanner system came in, that whenever there was a sale and things, a lot of times it wouldn't acknowledge that sale. And if you didn't know, you wouldn't say anything. So, you know, a nickel and a dime here with one customer, there's a dollar in that store's favor. Well, if you caught it, you say something, yeah, we're going to go change it. But if you didn't, we're not going to leave it alone. And so that source of scanning was not calibrated right. And it was making them in favor for them, a dollar per customer times millions of customers throughout a year's time, $1 million. And so it did finally, they got caught. It went to court and they said, you need to stop. And they basically said no. So they went into an investigation, and they started looking into the memos of the company and the executives and the management, and yeah, they knew about it. I'm cheating. And it worked out to be a big sum of money, but we can't get that type of attitude in our lives that we can just get a little extra in our life in the things that we do, whatever business that we have. Bonnie and I have been in 2 or 3, 4 different businesses. I don't want to be unfair. And as a Christian, neither should any of us. If we truly treat right and do the things right and be right in business, brethren, you're going to be happy, you're going to be successful, and we can make profits in an honest way. And God expects us to do. But if we do not, then we are seeing that we go about with all these profits that we make, as these kings were, we lifting ourselves up with a proud look. And I got to thinking about that. What does a proud look look like? We need to know, because God hates it. If it's a proud look, if we look ourselves in the mirror and we've lifted ourselves up, I want to tell you, you can kind of take the saying of a proud look, you have a proud heart. Or you can take that in reverse and say, with a proud heart, you have a proud look. It's in the heart and it's in the mind. And we've lifted ourselves up with this spirit that we shouldn't be this way. It tells us that even though you've gotten away with it for a long time, even as these kings may have been at that time, and they've joined forces hand in hand, God is saying you're not going to go unpunished. We need to think about that. God hates a proud look. Paul told us to have lowliness of mind. This is another area that we need to think about in our lives. In Philippians 2:2-5, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you. So I was thinking, okay, you don't have a proud look. As Brandon was speaking, you don't go around poor, pitiful me, and you don't go around lifting yourselves up. Where are we supposed to be as Christians? How are we supposed to act? How are we supposed to look? What are we supposed to be? And throughout the Bible, you can go in there and see in moderation. Garland and I was talking about this earlier. There is, I think, some middle ground that is an important area that we need to be in that God is happy with. And it's a attitude, and it's a positive way working for Him that He is happy with. And so if we see where that's at, we need to strive to be there. Here, Paul is talking about this lowliness of mind. That's just bringing yourself down. As far as that proud look part, it's opposite of that. It's bringing yourselves down, not being lofty, not lifting, but bring yourself down, humble. You know, humility is in so many areas that we are striving to find that we have a hard time finding many times in our lives. Here it talks also that we are to esteem others better than ourselves. Truly, humility is thinking about other people a lot of times, seeing what their needs are, seeing where we can be of service to them. If we're in a service for Christ, we have to have this mind be in us as it was in Christ Jesus. Peter exhorts humility to being subject one to another. In 1 Peter 5:5-6 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Listen to this carefully. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. That covers pretty much everybody, doesn't it? Talks about the younger first. Then he comes back and says, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I tell you, as Christians, and we have this attitude with each other, it is a respectful, courteous, where can I help attitude for all of us. It's just really a good thing. You know, you look at the world today, and there's so much of the things of self-networking, self-marketing. I'm going to be first, you're going to be next. Attitudes that, you know, really it's hard sometimes. It's hard to keep your patience with that. It's hard many times to have patience with someone who's acting that way. But we are to help one another, aren't we, as Christians, that we put each other first, that we humble ourselves to each other, the young, the old alike. How should we serve the Lord? You know, when we think about this, we think about God being a God, and He wants to be worshipped and wants to be served. How can we do that? Here, Paul talking in Acts 20 shows us a little bit of his mindset and how he served the Lord. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by lying in wait of the Jews. You think about the hardships of Paul, the things that he went through, the things that he had to do as he served God, the hardships. You know, when we think about that in our Christian life, there may be some times there's some things that possibly could be some hardships. But I don't know that there is any in my lifetime were ever equal to what Paul went through. Think about that in Jesus. And some of those disciples, that the things that they done in order to continue to put the church first. A time of persecution, a time that it was growing and spreading out. There was a time there that they were being put on the cross and crucified. They were being burned. They were being hung. I mean, on and on and on. We can see that once they would do that, they would just move over and continue preaching the gospel. It was like a fire getting stamped out and a little jump over here and over here. So they continued to do that despite the hardships. So if we keep all humility in mind, it will help us to serve the Lord. When serving brethren, we should have humility and gentleness. This is probably where many times that I will find myself being impatient. You know, it says here, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, which ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. When we think about someone getting caught up in some sinful lifestyles or things that's going on in their lives, one of the things, first things that I think as Christians, many times we want to back off. And we just won't want to pry. We don't want to get in that business, you know. Pray they'll get mad at us. But really, spiritually speaking, and looking at the spiritual life rather than the physical life, if you think of what's ahead for that person and you believe they are in danger of that hellfire, there is a obligation as Christians that we should try to restore that person, but we should do it with meekness. And meekness really falls in more of a line of gentleness, but if you think about humility, I think it's taking that stand too of having a humble mind is that if somebody's caught in that, you go in love. You go in love and you say to them, look, I love you. I believe this is what the Bible says. And I believe this is what you're doing. And what can we do to help you with this? And be of service. And if we can be of service to that person in that way, and then if he gets all messed up or she about it, it's on them. But we've done our duty as a Christian. We are to restore with meekness. You know, you think about restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. You think about restore, you restore. Allah have restored old furniture. I know there's people who have restored old cars. There's people who are good at restoring. It's taking something that is just, really, it needs work. And you go in there and you give a lot of great effort and you try to build that thing back up. And that's what we're to do as Christians for that person. If we're to get those people in that situation built back up and back on the road again in their Christian life. We suffer right along with them for a while, but we don't get tempted with what they're doing and get involved in it. If we cut ourselves off from that person, are we saying to ourselves, you know what, I'm just a little bit better than that. I'm a little more righteous than that. I don't want to get caught up in that, so I'm just going to eliminate myself from that person's life. And in all reality, this is telling us quite the opposite. We need to restore. We need to go to that person and help. A humble spirit helps us to forgive. Luke 17, 3 through 4. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, then thou shalt forgive him. I think about 2 little kids when I read this scripture. I just do. I think they're playing. One of them does something to the other one, and the other one says, stop it. And then the other one says, I'm sorry. And the other one says, well, it's okay. If you think about that, in our lives, we've grown up that way, saying I'm sorry to people for something that you did to them. And that's forgiveness. That's saying, look, I won't do it anymore. Okay, I forgive you. And that's the scripture that Jesus wants us to know. If he's going to forgive us, then when we have to forgive others. And it's going to be in all the little spats that we may have with brethren, even our own family maybe. But is that the way of just forgiveness is such a beautiful thing. There's no more hard feelings. We continue on with life and we have this little relationship that works. So we need to keep that in mind. A humble spirit helps to forgive. I want you to think about a moment about the humility of Christ. We're going to go in a little bit about Christ now. And about the birth, how humble of a setting that was. I was talking, I think, to Charlene here a while back. And I said, Charlene, you know, how is that little area where they all the babies are born? Real clean, you know, nice little area. She said, yeah, but she said, them babies are going to come in this world regardless. It don't matter where you're at. You're not going to stop the birthing. It's that baby's coming. And for Jesus, it was the same way. He was in an area there, you know, was born in a stable, a manger. Dirt, animals, barn. I mean, really, how humble of a birth can you get? From the get-go, Christ was living a humble life, being born in humility. And when you think about that, it just, from birth to death, humble. Luke 2 and 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothing and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, when we read this, we see that Christ was going to live a life of service, of humility. The prophecy of Jesus entering Jerusalem, Zechariah 9 and 9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble, and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And in the New Testament, that was the prophecy. Here is the grand entry of Jesus coming into Jerusalem on a donkey's colt. How humble can you get? In John 12, 14 through 15. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it was written. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. I think when I read this, it struck to me how humble Jesus really was and how humble, being man, of what he could have had versus a donkey's colt. He could have come in with a golden chariot with six white horses in front of it, full of armor, and looked like a king, a physical king, as many times the way they presented themselves. But yet rather, being this king, a different kind of king, when he came in, he was showing what kind of king he was going to be by being on this donkey's coat. So it was an act of humility. You know, if we go to a prom anymore, I mean, I don't know if I did or not. I don't think I did, but it seemed like in my son's age, he's 30-something now, but when he's in high school, and we're coming in more of these big long cars and the neat cars and showing up in all this big well-to-do. Well, that's a little bit of the way man today, from that to presidents, is wanting to show up. Our current president, if he's coming into Washington or into another country and he's wanting to show his power, is he going to get on a little old donkey coat? What's he going to show up in? It's going to be armored. It's going to be bulletproof, and it's going to be long, and it's going to be extravagant. And that's just the way the power shows today. It's the power, it's the money, it's the prestige, it's the showing of a grand entry. And yet the most important person in our life that is the most service to us come in on a donkey's coat into this Jerusalem. And that matter of fact, too, Jesus wanted as many people there in that could be there in bringing him in this presentation, because it was a presentation of a Savior. But he came to show and let know that I'm going to be in service to you. It was prophesied as that. Jesus taught disciples about being a servant with a humble act. Think about this, even to the point of service. This is something that would be hard to do. John 13, 12 through 16. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments and was set down again. And he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. You know, when you look at this scripture, and see this example of a humble act, it teaches us so much of a master being in service and teaching us to have the same attitude, to have that attitude of service in our lives also, is that we need to continue to do what he set in motion. You know, humility is self-denial. When you think about it, Christ constantly did this for us, was self-denying himself. Matthew 26 through 39, it says, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And you think about self-denial, to me, this leading into the death on the cross was the greatest act of self-denial. It's where you're feeling in your heart, have you ever just been so scared that you just don't want to do it? You're scared. You know what this is going to hurt. And that's where Christ was with this in that at Garden of Gethsemane. He was there praying, and he's saying, "Father, I don't know about this. Is there any other way?" But yet, he said, "It's your will and not my own." That's humbleness. That is humbleness to the point of death. And that's exactly what he went to, was death. In Philippians 2 and 8, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and being obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." You know, I think that for us, when we look at these scriptures and we see such a loving God and for allowing his son to die on the cross, and for Jesus, who humbled himself to be man, still said, "God, it's your will, not my own." And he suffered and he died for our sake. But when we think about this, humility truly for us, when you look at that example, is following Jesus and not self. Matthew 16 and 24 says, "Then Jesus said unto the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And see, we've got to have this attitude in everything that we do. We've got to have this attitude when we decide that we want to continue our life as a Christian. When there's times in our lives that we feel like we need to repent, if there's something that's bothering us in our heart and our conscience and we need to make it right, we need to self-deny ourselves, not continue in that, but we need to say, "I'm wrong in this, and I need to get the favor of God. I need to get back right with God." Well, where's the first areas that we can do in that for ourselves? Humility will help us to admit our faults, number one. James 5:16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." So when you think about what Jesus has done for us, and remember those words, "God, your will, not my own." We need to think about that in our own ways, in our salvation, when it's time to repent, when it's time to start our Christian life, that we don't think about ourselves, but we think about God and what he wants us to be obedient to. Humility helps us to repent. Acts 2 and 38. "Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." You know, I think that many times when we think about this act that Christ went through of to death, and he's thinking about, "God, it's your will, not my own," because he was suffering. Think about that. I'm about to die. So he was suffering. And in this prayer, he's saying, "God, this is your will." As we come many times in point of our lives, whether whatever we're thinking about and we're suffering with in our lives, we need to think about that repentance. We need to think about, "I need to get right with God. I don't need to continue on in what I'm doing." So when we keep this attitude, this humble attitude, it keeps it really off ourselves, but on the obedience and to the laws that God wants us to be obedient to. So in times that humility may help us to repent, humility helps us to make a wonderful change. I want you to think about this for a moment. Just like we talked in the very beginning in Proverbs, the honesty that we need to have in our lives. If you think about honesty of the scriptures, when we read in the scriptures that we are to do certain things to attain salvation, that we are to repent, that we're to confess our faults, that we're to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died on that cross, he went to the grave and he rose the third day. And he teaches us also that we are to be baptized. When we think about the honesty of those scriptures, brethren, humility will help us to make a wonderful change in our life. A wonderful change. And that's this. Romans 6 and 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. It is time in our lives that when we read the scriptures that it says that we are to be baptized, that we self-denial ourselves, really. We don't think to ourselves, you know, I really don't want to do this. I'm sorry, but we should. We really should want to do that. Why? Well, number one, because the Bible and the honesty of the scriptures says that we should. If it says that we should be baptized, we should move forward and be baptized. So, what's it doing? Well, it's self-denying yourself. What else is it doing? It's saying, God, it's your will and not my own. Humility will help you make a wonderful change in your life.